I bring grace to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for today is from Isaiah 58, and as we come to this word, in all likelihood somewhat unfamiliar, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. We ask you, O God, to illumine our hearts and minds, that we may see in this word not only the law which condemns, but through it the Christ who comes and fulfills in perfect obedience your every wish and satisfies your every requirement for our salvation. We ask you, Heavenly Father, not only to do those things, but then, dear God, take us from this room and help us keep the fast as you would have it kept. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start by reminding all of you that you are stewards of the mysteries, assuming that you are preparing for the holy ministry, have been called into the holy ministry, are an auxiliary to the holy ministry in your service as deaconesses. You are stewards of the ministry, of the mysteries. Or if you are spouses or children, you are stewards of the mysteries. By your ministry in your Christian home, you support your husband, your wife, your father, your mother in the work of their ministry in this great kingdom and family, which is the Church of God. And just to be fair, if there are any mother-in-laws here, you are stewards of the stewards of the steward of the mysteries. I just want to make sure that everybody is comprehended in this. If you are a church member, in your prayers for your pastor, for the ministry of the gospel that occurs in your congregation, even if you are not called, even if you're not biologically or legally, contractually connected to a steward of the mystery, you still have an investment in the work which is done. I remind you of that today because those who are stewards of the mysteries will oversee the spiritual disciplines and religious practices and liturgical habits of the congregation. You will do those things because that is what God expects you to do for those who He has entrusted to your care. And so, given that reality that we here at this seminary are focused on the stewardship of the mysteries, the gospel, the sacraments, let's give our attention to the words and work of Isaiah in Isaiah 58. Israel, as we know, is rebellious. 66 chapters of Isaiah and countless other prophets in addition to him provide the specifics of that general rebellion. Isaiah 58 finds God's people, so-called, behaving badly once again. Simply stated, in case you missed Isaiah 58, in case you have not memorized Isaiah 58 right up there with John 3:16, say, let me refresh with this overarching statement. The children of Israel fast from food with fists, while forgetting completely the heart of God that called the fast into being in the first place. Let me say it again, just to summarize or run the text in a single sentence. The nation of Israel, the children of God, the people of the kingdom, they fast from food with their fists, while forgetting completely the heart of God that called the fast into being in the first place. They fast, which is a good thing. God commanded fasts. He likes fasting. He likes Sabbath resting. He likes ceasing from activity, 6 days worth of activity. He likes for us to stop and be still so that, as Martin Luther learned from Psalm 46, we may know who God is. And not only knowing who God is, knowing that He is God. Fasts are good, and fasts from food are helpful as well. And they apparently in Isaiah 58 had this down to a science. There was no problem with them in their technical fulfillment of what God wanted them to do. They stopped eating. The problem is what they decided to have as a side dish to their fast. In some inexplicable way, there were fists being thrown. Not unlike, mind you, seems to be analogous in 1 Corinthians. There was liturgical piety, there was technical fulfillment of religious practice, but the accompanying accoutrements to the meal of fasting was seriously problematic. I don't know what kind of people throw fists in the middle of a fast. I've been in bad voters' assembly meetings. I've been on the receiving end of bad moments in church history. But no one has threatened to slug me, and certainly not in the midst of a worship service, perhaps in the narthex, but not during the fast. And more than that, Isaiah 58 brings home this point. Verse 6, isn't this not the fast that I have chosen? Specifically, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let those who are oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is not this fast to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Near to this fast are not those with whom you have oppositional thoughts. Near to this fast ought to be the alien and the fatherless and the widow. The prophetic and Old Testament triple crown of the church's focus. They ought to be the centerpiece, personally, of the fast that God desires. You see, the people of God have forgotten that fasting is best when it is fasting forward, not fasting from. It's not about ceasing from food. It is about the springboard into mercy and justice. So let me refresh again by reminding you, those pastors in training, all those who steward the stewards of the mysteries, you are stewards of the mysteries. That is to say, you will oversee the spiritual disciplines, religious practices, and liturgical habits of the congregation and its members entrusted to your care. At what point, then, I ask you, will your liturgical habits, religious practices, your stewardship of the mysteries clearly express God's heart, not for technical precision or legalistic fulfillment of the requirements, but that all of those acts piously experienced in the church, how will they springboard people into the mercy and justice that God demands? You will not only lead God's people, you will be the example for God's people. Isaiah 58 is not just a corrective for the priests in their behavior, it is a corrective for the congregation in its day-to-day piety. And you, before you were ever a steward of the mysteries, theoretically were a Christian child of God. And the same tendency that Isaiah displays in this text is the same tendency that lives in each of our hearts. to get things technically right, to be able to say with a vaunted spirit, I did that, and I did it correctly, and God says, it's like filthy rags. If the outcome of the work and the result of the discipline and the thrust of the liturgical habit finally doesn't hit the road by bringing justice to those who are lost and forgotten. This week, the church has found itself in a difficult place with the executive order regarding immigration and refugees. Not wanting to wade into politics, but at the same time reading texts like this and realizing that immigrants and refugees, the alien, the fatherless, the widow, the overlooked, the oppressed, those fleeing war, those fleeing famine, those looking for peace, are the centerpiece of God's desire for His church's ministry. And without making a political statement, I simply point out to you this: the church, at the very least, ought to be wrestling greatly with how in the world we give answer in this present political environment to what so clearly is God's heart for those who cannot stand for themselves. And I remind you once again, you are a steward of the mysteries. And with the mysteries comes the miracle, that if God is for us, how can anyone be against us? And if God is for them, the alien, the fatherless, the widow, the oppressed, the forgotten, nothing will be able to stand against them either. God will have His way. And the mysteries that you steward are the mysteries that first came to you. The mysteries that you tend and caretake are the mysteries that are filled with Christ. The Christ who broke the Sabbath in order to heal a palsied hand. The Christ who broke the Sabbath in order to challenge the Pharisees and say to them, you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but you have forgotten the weightier things. The weightier things. You say your parents are not worthy of your caretaking. You forget justice for those who cannot stand for themselves. Christ comes, and He says, I will redeem them, and I will redeem a church of them, for them. It is the great mystery in our country today, in many respects, that this Christ, who comes with that heart for those kinds of people, of whom we also, poor in spirit, are included, is the very Christ that says to us today, remember the fast by fasting forward, not just from. And in doing so, regard rightly that which you steward, the gospel of salvation, which is the hope of the world. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forever. Let's rise and join together our voices in singing.